listeners, Lee here from the Story Pirates. We're the creators of Bugs and Daffy's Thanksgiving Road Trip and the Story Pirates podcast, which turns kids' stories into sketch comedy and songs. Last Thanksgiving, our team of writers, musicians, and actors had the chance to create the very first Looney Tunes podcast, Bugs and Daffy's Thanksgiving Road Trip, which you probably know because you're listening to this bonus episode on the Looney Tunes podcast feed right now. It was a pretty big deal for us because of how much Looney Tunes has inspired us over the years. So today, in honor of the one-year anniversary of the release, I'm excited to talk to Eric Bauza, the voice behind both Bugs and Daffy in the series. Eric's basically a legend and is so generous with his answers, doing voices, and sharing the brilliant history of these characters. And bonus points, he didn't just end the interview immediately when I asked him if he's ever ordered pizza as Bugs Bunny. I hope you like it. And after the interview, I hope you'll listen or re-listen to Bugs and Daffy's Thanksgiving Road Trip and maybe even make it a part of your own family's Thanksgiving tradition. And if your road trip is extra long this Thanksgiving and you need more family-friendly audio content, you can also find the Story Pirates podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. And now here's my interview with Eric Bauza. Eric Bauza, welcome to the show. Hello. Welcome to your show.
My show? I mean, I'm just the custodian for these characters.
Well, as with all custodians, I have nothing but respect for you. So thank you for being here. It's the one-year anniversary of Bugs and Daffy's Thanksgiving Road Trip. And I'm super excited to talk to you about what it is you do.
Well, Doc, rumor has it that I sound an awful lot like some certain animated rabbit. Oh, no, don't hijack this interview, rabbit. There's also a duck component to this that some people remember. Okay, Daffy, okay.
Yeah, I do the voices for Bugs and Daffy on occasion.
It's incredible. And for those that have listened to Bugs and Daffy's Thanksgiving Road Trip, it's incredible to realize that you are basically for the whole show having a conversation with yourself.
Well, you know, that's what you guys asked me to do. You guys wrote a very amazing script. And I know that's what you guys do is you set up the stage and you write dialogue for these classic characters.
So, Eric, fans of Looney Tunes will know that Bugs and Daffy as characters changed a little bit over the years. What can you tell us about the versions of Bugs and Daffy that you chose to voice for Bugs and Daffy's Thanksgiving Road Trip?
There are certain iterations where I voice Daffy.
And he's the crazy one! Woohoo!
And even Bugs has a bit more energy, but this is definitely the more Chuck Jones type, half-lidded Bugs, a little bit more
cool as a cucumber, cool as a carrot type Bugs.
And Daffy's the one that is kind of has the dollar signs in his eyes and desperately needs that attention. You guys nailed it.
So I guess in terms of you as a voiceover artist, Eric, Bugs Bunny is a character from the 1940s. What is it like being 80 years old?
Well, Doc, I've always had gray hair, so I guess it never mattered. I never felt the transition, at least in my look. Although, at this time of year, the cold weather really does heck on my joints.
I wasn't there for the original. Can you imagine being in a theater and watching these 1940s shorts for the first time? I just can't even imagine. For me, it was watching these shorts on Saturday mornings with the Bugs Bunny and Tweety show. It was kind of like the 80s and 90s renaissance of these characters. Shorts that were probably made with the idea that they might only be seen once in a movie house, not knowing that they would have a life well past 30, 40 years at that point, seeing it every Saturday in syndication. I imagine that's when you saw them.
That is exactly. I grew up watching these in the 80s and 90s on Saturday mornings, just like you.
Yeah, I mean, that was it. That's when I fell in love with them. I would record them on VHS. I would pause the drawings, pause the poses, and I would draw from these episodes, let alone be inspired by Mel Blanc as a voiceover artist. But as a kid, I started out as a cartoonist, and that's how I was influenced by Looney Tunes. And I always say, growing up as a kid, you either grew up on the Disney side of the fence or the Warner Brothers side of the fence. And
I definitely grew up and landed on the Warner Brothers Hanna-Barbera side of the fence, Doc.
And you know, I still go to Disneyland wearing Bugs Bunny clothes and get a lot of notes and dirty looks for it, but that's okay.
So you said you started off, obviously, as a fan, as a kid, and you sort of thought of yourself as a cartoonist at first. When did you first realize, I'm pretty good at doing these voices, too?
For me, I guess that started around the dinner table, kind of making fun of my parents and my older aunts and uncles. They were immigrants of the Philippines, so I was already surrounded by accents at the table growing up in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. So, you know, my parents had the Filipino accent, and of course I took to it, and any time I would imitate them, they would laugh. And I think for any kid, that is fuel for the fire. So then you start going, well, I could do my parents' voices. What, I could try doing my teacher's voice. I never thought, like, well, now how do I spin this into a career? I always thought, well, I'm good at doing voices. And that kind of carried on into animation. So as I worked at these various animation studios, I would start doing impressions of my coworkers or just impressions of cartoons, because that's our life, right? We would watch and make cartoons. And it would happen so in this situation where a friend of mine was asking me to do a voice for his pilot, the test episode of an idea of something. I was like, yeah, sure, whatever. And I remember it was a Ricardo Montalban impression from, if you watch Fantasy Island, then you'll know that I can do a very good spot on Ricardo Montalban. You know, I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, there are so many people that they could have hired, but for whatever reason, they picked me, and I did the voice, and I got on, and that kind of snowballed. Huh. And then I started to have more voiceover work than I could handle with animation as my job. So I had to quit my 9-to-5 animation job.
Wow. I had no idea that you actually worked in animation before you did this.
I was a character layout artist.
Wow.
I was the one that was drawing the final poses before they got animated. I like to do cleanup as well. Give me a set of markers and I love to clean up drawings. It's very therapeutic putting those perfect lines down on a piece of, like, a white piece of paper. And I also like to edit animatics and audio engineer stuff. Yeah, I got a great folder of fart sound effects. Trust me, I got them all.
It's super interesting because I bet there aren't a ton of voice artists like yourself who actually have a background in the drawing itself, that you know both sides of that.
There's like a handful. It's like Seth MacFarlane, Mike Judge. You know, these are show creators that not only created the cartoons they worked at. Justin Roiland, another one, you know. These are people that also like to draw as well.
So you do, dare I say, hundreds of voices.
So there may be a 100. I'm going to just say just over 100. I don't want to get too far ahead of myself.
I remember when we were recording Bugs and Daffy's Thanksgiving Road Trip, you were demonstrating for me some of the tiny little tweaks that you can do between Looney Tunes characters.
I call it the House of Mel Blanc because, again, we're drawing from the original gangsta of animation voices, Mel Blanc, the godfather. There's many interviews you can find of him on YouTube and all the social media outlets, but one in particular that I love is, like, him on Letterman, and you know, he's explaining to David Letterman. Now, when they pitch you a character, Mel, are you given a picture? Are they animated already? Oh, no. They give me a picture, and they describe the character to me. They describe, so they pitch Bugs Bunny as a wascally wabbit, you know, a tough little stinker. And I thought, who's the toughest voice in America right now? It's either Brooklyn or the Bronx.
So I put the two of them together and came up with Bugs Bunny, Doc. Ain't I a stinker?
Yeah, so, but Bugs, to me,
if you lose that nasally voice and start talking like a baby, all of a sudden that's Tweety Bird. Ooh, I taught a putty tat.
And then that voice is pitched up.
Daffy, when I perform it, it's Daffy as how we remember it, how it sounds in our memory.
But as he performed it, Mel originally performed it as Sylvester, just with an attitude adjustment.
Oh, you're despicable, Rabbit. And when they take that and pitch it up, it sounds like this. So it goes from being Sylvester to Daffy.
Just like that.
Wow, that's incredible. But have you ever ordered a pizza or done anything in the voice of Bugs like that or another character?
Oh, every time I go to the drive-thru, Doc, I say, I'll get a number 2 and make that animal style.
I bet that would really mess some people up.
Well, what ends up happening is I get to the window and they're looking for other people in the car and I'm by myself. You know, it's pretty freaky.
Okay, so here's a question that I was wondering. Is there a voice that you have always wanted, or a character that you've always wanted to do that you actually can't do?
Oh, my number one with a bullet is Batman. I mean, can you imagine Batman sounding like this? Hey, Joker, put that down, Joker. Well, I could never be Batman.
I bet you could do a good Adam West, though.
Robin, we have to go save Commissioner Gordon.
We're going to circle back around to that Batman eventually, I think, and then you're going to get the call. Okay, so what is the easiest voice? And I'm sure people ask you all the time, like, teach me to do this voice or that voice. What's the easiest voice to teach someone how to do?
Well, I think, and I don't want to sound like, oh, man, like, this is the rookie voice, but it's the one Mel Blanc voice that I've been with the longest, and that's Marvin the Martian. But, yeah, if you want to do a how to do Marvin voice 101.
Okay. I'm ready.
You kind of have, it's that mid-range voice right around here. So if you can kind of make this noise, like this pitch, and then start doing like that froggy type voice in the back of your throat like this, and it's not quite British, because British would kind of be like this. It's a little bit ethereal, like almost like mid-Atlantic, the way... The proper way of talking, you know, back in the 40s, for whatever reason, if you watch films, they all kind of talk like this. They had a very light way of talking and very proper and very announced way of speaking.
And that's kind of like how Marvin was. He was a little bit like that. The Illudium Q36 Explosive Space Modulator. Yeah, so it's almost like that.
And I kind of push it, though, when I do it. If anything, it's more to make people laugh. You know, like dragging out that last sound in the sentence. Like, yeah, there you go. I retire. You are now the new voice of Marvin. It was just that easy.
Yeah, if that's how easy it is to break into voice, I'm game.
For me, also, I'm like, the sixth person to do Bugs? I want there to be like a sea of Bugs Bunny actors. Mm. I couldn't have been the only person who grew up watching Looney Tunes. So I invite anyone and all to come try out for these characters. It's just that universal, you know? I want to meet the guy that does Bugs in Germany and non-English speaking. Bugs actors, to talk to them to see what their recollection of Bugs was growing up as a kid.
We need a convention.
A Bugs convention, yes.
In Boy Bank.
So you do so many different voices, you inhabit so many different characters. Do you ever dream in a character's voice?
Oh, man, that is a good question. I mean, there's a rumored story that after Mel Blanc had his terrible car crash that put him in the hospital, that he woke up to the sound of doctors asking him, Mel, are you there? Bugs, are you there? And then he answered,
hey, what's up, Doc?
Can you imagine being that in character, that's the only way you could snap out of a coma? I don't know. I wasn't there. I can't confirm or deny this story, but it makes for a good legend.
It's a great legend. Do you ever get in your head and start to think, like, maybe, like, Eric is a character too, and my voice is like the Eric character voice, and maybe that's not even my real voice.
It's funny because there are people out there that have, we call, voices with character, like your Seth Rogen's or your Chris Rock's. Mm-hmm. You know, they have such a distinct sound, or Jack Black, they have such a distinct sounding voice, and that is their persona. Mm-hmm. And then most voice actors just try to do character voices, kind of get away from their normal voice.
Mm-hmm.
The closest that I've ever come to performing like a character that was in my original voice was for a show produced by Warner Brothers Animation called Unikitty, and I was Master Frown. He was kind of the bad guy on the show. And he was just more of it's the least Canadian I've ever sounded. Usually Canadians are nice, but I got to be a jerk on this series. The foil to Unikitty, and all he wanted to do was ruin birthday parties and good times. If he saw you down the street with your ice cream, he would knock it out of your hands, you know? And it was a lot of fun, I gotta say. It was a great original character. I have found a lot of luck doing these franchise legacy characters, but Master Frown was definitely one of my favorite characters, where I got to do not just an original character, but just a character that was just kind of close to my own voice.
So I just have one more question for you, But I remember when we were making this show last year.
Yeah.
And you told me a story about some recordings that you had heard and had of Mel Blanc from back in the day. Do you remember that?
There was a few golden era box sets of DVDs before Blu-ray that Warner Brothers put out of the Looney Tunes characters and shorts. And it's like sessions of Mel Blanc kind of after the shorts, but before he retired. So he was still sounding like he had like a lot of energy. And it was just him doing like these little bumpers of Bugs Bunny, Speedy Gonzalez, I think Porky for sure. And you hear him going, okay, this is Porky Pig, lines 21, to be sped up 1,000 RPMs.
Yeah, but you be a boy. Wow, I can't believe that we're here and we're watching these shorts. You know, like it's just coming up next, folks. Yeah, we got a great show for you.
And it's just really so cool to hear him. It was like a raw voice session. And I was, oh man, like for me as a voice actor, I'm like with a bib and a knife and a fork, just waiting to just cut into that and like just take it all in. Like hearing the non-polished stuff. I mean, I heard another one of Arthur Q. Bryan and Mel Blanc, so Elmer and Bugs, being directed by Chuck Jones for What's Opera Doc. I will kill him with my magic helmet.
Magic helmet.
Yes, magic helmet. And I will give you a sample. You know, hearing like them sing is another thing too. But hearing them kind of go through these lines, like Mel going, Chuck, how do you want me to say the word bye? Like,
bye, bye.
Say it like, bye, bye. And you just hear... You hear the exact take that they use in the cartoon in all the takes. It's so amazing. And again, if you're a nerd like me, you're probably drooling right now, but it's out there and all for you guys to study. Just do a search for it.
Wow. Eric, it was a joy and an honor to make this show with you, and so fun to reconnect.
Oh my gosh. Thank you so much. And
yeah, that's all, folks.